I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
If you knew God's will for you, would you do it? Like today.
I need to hear more before I sign up for this. Okay, well, here it is.
Always be joyful. Keep on praying. And no matter what happens, always be thankful. For, read it with me, this is God's will for you. Just that much. This is God's will for you. That is you who belong to Christ Jesus. So why then are we more or less, much less than always joyfully thankful? Well, the prophet Jeremiah made a fairly astonishing statement, saying the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. You see it there? You see that? There is no cure for self-delusion, which always expresses itself in some way or another in self-righteousness. You don't have to be a believer to have self-righteousness. Yeah, there's no cure. No cure for the heart, just a recovery program. Okay, like ours, right here, right now, today, because we are in this battle together. So if you're visiting, relax, because you do not have to pretend to be what you're not here. Because we're not here to play church or to look religious.
Amen.
Yeah, amen to that. We are here to celebrate God's genuine goodness and to inspire each other to shine our light, to show our gratitude. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You ever have someone give you an extravagant gift that caused you to say something like, that's too much. I can't accept it. Why not? What's the problem? What's going on deep down in our old subconscious? How about the classic old debate over who's paying for the meal? You know, I got it. No, put your wallet away. It's my treat. No, you get it next time. Why do we fight for the privilege of paying? And maybe you say, I don't. Well, then you are very mature. Or a mooch. Definitely one of the two. By the way, this is purely an adult predicament, right? I mean, imagine your kids acting this way at McDonald's. I believe you picked it up last time, Mommy. Yeah, every time, kitty. When do we outgrow this? Why do we outgrow this? I'll give you the answer in a word. Fear. You know, not fear. It always comes back to fear, doesn't it? Fear or pride, those seem to be the two motivators in our life. Fear of what? Oh, being indebted. Being indebted. You see, now, this is perplexing and frustrating for kids to watch at a restaurant, to watch this take place. They don't, what do they know, right? Because they're just like, take it and say thank you, right? Take it, it's free money. What's wrong with you? That's a very good question. What's wrong with us? We don't see it as free. That's what's wrong. We do not see it as free. Because I'll tell you this, we're all alike. Deep down, we desire to be indebted to no one. Ever. Never. We tell ourselves we're very generous. Very generous. I'm just very giving. I'm very unselfish. That's a good Pharisee. Yeah. Not, however, a good recovering Pharisee. We really don't respond all that well to gifts unless we can offer something of equal or greater value in return. Because otherwise, It makes us feel weak and needy and oh so vulnerable to the giver. You ever heard the expression, no good deed goes unpunished? Well, now you know why. Put your wallet away. You ever seen Jake get angry? Put your wallet away. You will be indebted to my unselfishness. Now, we are fine being thankful. Get this. We are fine being thankful as long as we think we deserve what we are being thankful for. That's a deep thought. We are fine being thankful. A lot of our thankfulness is this category. As long as we think we deserve what we're being thankful for, which is kind of crazy because we can't actually be thankful for something we deserve. We can be glad. We can be glad that someone's acknowledging it. But that's different. You don't thank your employer for the gift of your paycheck each week. You earned it. You'd be glad. Now, if there's a bonus in there, unexpected bonus in the paycheck in there, then you'd probably be like, wow, he's finally acknowledging how valuable I really am. Because you see, even in that, it creeps in. It isn't always gratitude. A typical server at a restaurant who receives a typical tip is typically gratified, but not all that grateful. We confuse those two words. Tipping is an expected part of their compensation. We get that, which is why it's offensive. It's insulting to find a tip that's less than typical. But generally, the tip is typical, and servers will happily express their gratitude that you did your duty and that you left what was expected for what they feel they deserve. But imagine the surprise of finding a crisp $100 bill on top of a 30% credit card tip from a stranger after they've left. Because now it's above and beyond with no way to repay and no weird subconscious sense of vulnerability to the guy or gal. There would be rejoicing in the kitchen. Why? Because right there, they are truly 100% grateful. Why? They see it as being beyond what they deserve, but without the baggage. And right there, seeing it as beyond what they deserve, but without that baggage, that wonderful perspective is a struggle for Pharisees when it comes to God. We don't like to be forced to feel the vulnerability of, you can tell yourself you do, but we don't. We don't like to feel the vulnerability of being totally and utterly indebted to God. Pharisees, we like to deal in the realm of paychecks and proper compensation because we like the idea of deserving God's mercy, you know, for being good people. At least deserving it, just, you know, might be very humble about it. Just a little bit. Whereas a recovering Pharisee begins to see every good thing down here as nothing but benevolent bonuses and gracious gifts, right? Jesus, in this world, you will have trouble. This world's doing its job, testing us, perfecting us, wearing us down. So every good thing is a bonus and a gift. Which is why it is a much more wonderful life to really actually realize when it comes to earning our keep or deserving God's grace that no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law, you know, the rules. Rather, get this, we become...
through the law, through the rules, we become conscious of sin. That's what it was designed. The law was designed to show us our hopelessness so that thankfulness could abound. And Isaiah says, you were wearied with the length of your way, but you did not say the magic words, it is hopeless. Why? Well, because sadly, you found new life, but for your strength. We just turn Jesus into the law until the recovery program. Then we start working our way out of that. For Christ is the end. He is the end of the law for righteousness. To everyone who believes, who actually believes, in undeserved and unrepayable Christ for righteousness rather than law for righteousness. That in him alone, we might become the astonishing and unrepayable righteousness of God. As opposed to just even a little tinge of the self-righteousness that offers gratified gratitude when God does as expected. Oh man, am I preaching it myself, thinking how many times do I thank God because he came through? Oh, just praise you, Lord, you really came through. Gratitude or gratitude? You like feeding ducks? Feeding ducks just for the joy of watching them receive from your hand and your heart what they did nothing to deserve. What do they do in return? They poo all over the place. It's a great analogy for us. I like feeding ducks, unless it's a flock of Pharisees. Because let me tell you about those ducks. Oh my goodness. Those ducks think that our benevolent bread depends on how well they swim, how often they flap their wings, and how sweetly they quack. But recovering ducks, oh, love those ducks. They realize that the bread depends solely on the goodness of the bestower. Like with us and the bread of life. In fact, every paddle flap and quack should be an expression of joyful thankfulness and gratitude, not gratitude. Because when it comes to picking up salvation's tab, he's got us completely covered, and we are eternally deep, oh so deep, in his debt. And yet, sadly, Pharisees sabotage themselves and those around them by turning righteousness into something seemingly attainable through all manner of flapping and quacking. Which is why, to some who were confident of their own righteousness, Jesus told this parable. Look, two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee. Now, when he said Pharisee, they heard really righteous guy. Okay? One, a Pharisee. The other, a tax collector. It's where the audience would have went, boo. yay, Pharisee, boo. He says, yeah, but get this. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, saying, God, I thank you. Oh, good. Good start. I thank you that I'm not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers. Notice he lists like the worst of the worst. I'm not like those really bad. This is not good. This is really taking a turn. Or even like this tax collector. And the guy, here's why, God. Let me explain. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Apparently, the tax guy fasted only once a week and tithed on the net, whereas the Pharisee's tithe was all gross. Ha, ha, ha. I think the funniest part of that is the absolute silence at the end of it. See, because you tithe, that's a big argument in the church, you tithe on the nether, gross. I'm going to sit down and have this discussion because jokes are mostly funny if you have to explain them. You see, Pharisees establish attainable standard, attainable for themselves. A Pharisee will never establish a standard that they, aren't naturally wired for. Attainable standards by which to measure their own righteousness as well as the unrighteousness of everyone else. You see, this self-deceiving system, oh, it works like a charm. It allows us to evaluate ourselves by comparing ourselves to anyone who doesn't measure up, can't measure up, or doesn't care less about measuring up. Everyone seems to confirm my righteousness. But when you know that you know that you know that you have been given unfathomable, unrepayable mercy, you don't care who gets it. You give it to the whole world. Give it to the whole world. I'm so glad I got it. But if you think that you are in any way deserving it, then A, they're diluting. They're diluting the system you're using on which to base your self-worth. Our thankfulness, our true thankfulness, is so tied to God's grace that the absence of overflowing gratitude in our life is a strong indication that we've fallen off the wagon. Which is why practicing being more like Jesus, which we're all doing, must always be in response to the grace that he gave, for which we're so thankful and grateful. This response must come from grateful astonishment. 100%, like that tip on top of the tip with no baggage. You know, Jesus used so many, I started looking, it's like, it's everywhere. Jesus used so many examples of astonished gratefulness, astonished true thankfulness in his parables. Like, here's just some examples. The astonishment of the poor who are invited to the lavish banquet because the guests were too preoccupied. Or the astonishment of the workers who get a full day's wage for 1 hour's work. Or the astonishment of the prodigal son who's welcomed home with a robe, a ring, and a big old party. And Jesus even compares heaven's revelry to a found sheep party that's thrown by its loving shepherd. Because he says, when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me." And in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous. It's like the self-righteous persons who do not need to repent. We know everybody needs to repent. So those who do not see the need to repent. But now imagine if that shepherd got home and before he could say anything, the sheep called out from his shoulders, "Look who I found." That's almost as absurd as us saying we found Jesus. He's our lifeguard. And at best, we finally stopped thrashing and fighting against him so he could save us. You're welcome, Lord. A lot to take credit for there. So often in the Gospels, the teachers and Pharisees are on the opposite side of the tax collectors and prostitutes and Jesus. In fact, regarding a prostitute who was at his feet, Jesus said to Simon the stunned Pharisee, "The one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Read that with me, please. "The one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Wow. Which is why an ongoing awareness of things we try to hide, which we shouldn't, an ongoing awareness of our faults and God's forgiveness is so crucial to conscious gratitude over unconscious gratitude, deceitfully masquerading as true thankfulness. Now, I just want to say, it isn't that Jesus tolerates sin. Of course not. He just wants Pharisees to admit their hypocrisy, embrace humility, and join the party at the feet of a loving and gracious and merciful God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. And give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. How often do you get down on your knees and thank God for all that he's done for you? Because I'll tell you, three times a day, not me, Daniel, three times a day, Daniel got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, even while exiled and trapped in a very pagan nation. So maybe tonight, you want to do God's will, maybe tonight, try thanking God for every good thing you can think of that you've never thanked him for before. It'll be a fun exercise, like joining a party, you know. Give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. That's what I can do. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. I mean, is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? By the way, did you know that's what the Lord calls communion? The cup of thanksgiving. Oh, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises. It's God's will, even. But will you do it? Like today. I have found that a thankful heart neutralizes most flaws of a Pharisee. Turns out thankfulness, true thankfulness, is a valuable weapon to battle resentment and pride and fear and selfish ambition, superiority, hypocrisy, and you name it. I mean, why bother hiding your sin when you're truly thankful for the Lord's understanding and forgiveness and ongoing guidance? Why try to act spiritually superior? Why demand the head of the table when you're truly thankful for simply being invited? Why lust after someone else when you're truly thankful for the one the Lord brought into your life to provoke you to change? But like children, which is what Jesus calls us, not as a compliment, we often need to practice it before we start to feel it. On the drive here, I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to start thanking you because I think of myself as a very thankful person. Most of my prayers are thanks to God. And so thanks, see if I can come up with things I haven't thanked you for. Instantly, the list was longer than I had time to drive. I just started thinking for the people who decorated the church and did such a fantastic job. And then that sparked, well, I should name them. I'm thankful for this person and that person, this person, and the people that do the sound and the singing. And I had never thanked them so specifically. And I don't know, I got about halfway here and I just stopped and I said, Lord, I don't thank you at all for anything, do I? I am just not thankful. This is a good attitude to have going in this morning. I am so unthankful. I take everything for granted. Forgive me. It took me a long time to realize how addicted I was, and I guess am, to self-righteousness. But you know, an alcoholic in recovery does not stop being an alcoholic. they simply stop drinking, which requires daily decisions. So too with us recovering Pharisees, right? In our ongoing struggle with the sin within. Let me end on this. Do you know the difference? Do you know what someone in heaven and someone in hell absolutely have in common? Neither one thinks they deserve what they got. But as you know, only one lucky duck is right. Let's pray. Father God, we love you, worship you, and are deeply, eternally indebted to you. Holy Spirit, inspire us and empower us to do your will and grow in joyful gratitude. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your unfailing and unrepayable love. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.